Well, we're going to read from God's Word now, and if you have a Bible near you, we're on page 617, and we're looking at the first 16 verses of Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verses 1 to 16. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do no wrong but follow his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Well, for the last 2 weeks, Janet and I have been in Scotland. We spent a few days in Edinburgh and then a few days right up near Aviemore, right up in the Highlands, and it was a wonderful place to be. But while we were in Edinburgh, we went to several events known as the Fringe and during the festival there. And one event that we went to was a human circus. Now, it sounded a bit ridiculous to me to go to a human circus. And I must be honest, I wasn't really looking forward to it. But when we got there, it was magnificent. There were acrobats, young men and ladies, doing some incredible things. And they did it all without safety nets. And some of the things that they were performing were stunning, absolutely stunning. It made me think, as I marveled at a man who was balancing four other strong acrobats on his shoulders and on his head, about life in general. And it made me think, bringing it down to earth, of something that I once gave a little talk on years ago. Can you imagine standing on a table and trying to pull somebody up with all your strength onto the table? Somebody about the same weight as you. Now, you might have, all like me, all the muscles in the world, just like Popeye and those acrobats, but I can guarantee that the person who's standing on the ground will have much more success in pulling you down than me pulling that person up on the table. You see, it's far easier to pull somebody down than it is to lift somebody up. And in life, there are far more things in life that will tempt us and try to pull us down than ever there are to try and lift us up. And the psalmist knew that very well. And that's why he says in verse 9 there, how can a young person, or come to that, any person, because he was probably saying this because he was a young person, but how can a young person or any person be strong in life? How can he be strong enough to keep his way pure? And then he answers his own question. He says, there's only one way for a young man or for an old person or for a middle-aged person, for any person to keep his way pure, and that is according to God's word. He says this, by obeying your word and following its rules. But how does putting this into practice help a person to grow strong? Three things I want to bring to you this morning. The first is this. God's word is the route to blessing. You see, people of real strength are those who are people of strong character. And strong character comes because they've allowed their lives to be shaped and molded by the God who created all things and knows how best to live life and to build a strong character. They're people who can face every situation in life, good or bad, easy or tough, and experience inner peace and no real joy because they've discovered the God who has spoken in his word and has shown us how to navigate our way through life. The psalmist says this, happy are those who obey his decrees and search for him with all their heart. Now, it's true that the Bible is a book that tells us about God. It gives us masses of information about God, about life, and about how to live. But basically, the Bible is not a book of information. It's a book in which God speaks. It's not just that he spoke in the past through the prophets, through people like Moses and Isaiah and all of the folk who wrote the Old Testament, the New Testament as well. It's not that it's a book that spoke in the past. It's a book that is alive, living, and speaks to every generation. And it speaks to us as clearly as it spoke to the people in Jesus' day and earlier. He speaks through his word today because although the circumstances of our lives might differ, our ways might differ, basically the world doesn't change and neither do people. Tim Chester says this, we're still people made in God's image, we're still made to know God and find our identity in him. The truth is, you see, we all rebel against God's rule, and therefore we all face God's judgment. We're all in need of a savior. We all need to experience love. We all need to know how to live in right relationship with each other. And the Bible speaks to us directly on each of those issues. We all need to know how to respond to everyday situations in life. For example, how to handle money, how to bring up children, how to make priorities in life. And the Word of God, the Bible, gives us the rules and the principles to bring to every situation in life so that we can make wise decisions and make good moral choices. You see, a blessed life is a strong life, and the route to both of those, both blessing and inner strength, is through knowing and applying the Word of God and being in relationship with the God who speaks through the Bible. And I wonder if this morning, do you see the Bible as that? A powerful book in which God can speak directly to you. Secondly, God's Word is the path to purity. See, the psalmist had a particular need. He struggled, like you and me, with the pull to conform to the patterns of the world that he saw all around him. You see, temptation's always been with us, hasn't it? It was with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It was with the psalmists. It was with every writer. Even Jesus says, he was tempted in every way. Just like you and just like me. It's always been with us. And the pull to compromise and to give in is so strong that sometimes we fail. And that's why the psalmist posed this question. And then in the same breath, he answered it. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word and following its rules. And I don't know about you, but when I read the opening verses in that chapter, this psalm, I must be honest, I felt a little bit depressed. Particularly when I read it in the version that we read it this morning. What the Bible says is there, if you want to be blessed, you've got to be blameless. You've got to do nothing wrong. Well, I don't know about you, but that counts me out. And it probably, I suspect, counts every one of you out as well. You see, it's not possible to live a blameless life, is it? We all struggle with temptation, and quite often we trip up and we fall, and we do things that we would rather be not let anyone know about, and things that might leave us feeling guilty. But look again at verse 11 in that chapter. The psalmist says this. He says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You see, the psalmist was somebody who knew that the more you read God's word, the more you get to know what God requires, and the more you're able, therefore, to face every temptation in life head on and say, temptation's calling me to do this, but actually, God's word tells me to say no. But the psalmist also knew from reading God's word that when we do slip up, God has provided a way for us to be put right. And the whole point of the law that he was referring to, the part of the Bible that we call the first five books of the Bible, that was the bit that the psalmist had in his day. The whole point of us was to show us how to live for God the way he wants us to live. But when we fail, there's a way to get ourselves put right. And it's to accept God's remedy. And so when the psalmist talks about being blameless, he's saying, yes, I have slipped up. I've done things wrong, but actually I've taken hold of God's word and I've accepted God's remedy. And the remedy in the Old Testament was through sacrifice. The blameless person is the one who has found in God's word, God's remedy, and appropriated that to himself. And that's what it means to follow the law of God and to walk in his paths. You see, blamelessness comes because we've accepted what God has done to make our way forgiven, our path pure, and our way right. But living by the word of God certainly does mean as well to live by God's standards. And there's real inner happiness and blessing that comes when we do that. The psalmist says, oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. Do you know, there's nothing quite so rewarding as reaching the end of the day and being able to say, I've kept God's law. I've overcome temptation. I've not wronged anyone today. I've done nothing that I'd be ashamed of if others found out. And that's what the psalmist means when he says, I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. But to do that, the word of God needs to permeate our whole being. It needs to be the stuff that flows through our whole life, just as blood flows through our veins. And the psalmist knew that we all make mistakes, but our aim should always be to live his life, seeking to live God's way. And that should be the aim of every one of us this morning. God's word is a great source of blessing and strength. It's also the way to purity. But thirdly, God's word points us to Jesus. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story that comes at the end of Luke's gospel. Do you remember that two men were walking on the road to Emmaus? Their heads were down. Their world had fallen apart because the one that they had trusted and the one that they had followed for so long was in a borrowed tomb. He'd been executed. The whole of their dreams had been shattered. Here were men who genuinely believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He'd He was the one who'd come to set Israel free. But now he laid in a borrowed tomb, and their dreams were in tatters. Jesus listened to their story. He joined them on the path as they walked with their heads down. And he suddenly brought them up with a start. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" And here's the part. Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You see, by this time, the Jewish scriptures comprised the whole of what we know as the Old Testament. And Jesus was saying to these two men, these two broken men, if you really knew your Bible, you would know that everything that happened to the Messiah was written there. Every part of the scripture, says Jesus, speaks about me. Now, I've often heard it said by loyal Christians, Christian folk who are good Christian folk, who love the Lord Jesus. I love the New Testament, but I can't be doing with the Old Testament. It just doesn't grab me. Well, I think they've never understood the significance of what Jesus said to those two men on the road to Emmaus. You see, to understand the Old Testament, it has to be read with Jesus in mind. Jesus was saying to these two men on the road to Emmaus, look in your Old Testament and look through spectacles that are made up of me. By the time that Jesus was speaking as well, the New Testament was being formulated in the minds of people. They were listening to what he was saying. And do you remember what Jesus said to the disciples who were devastated when he told them that he was about to die? Where are we going to, who is going to teach us after you've gone? Jesus told them this, all this I have spoken while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Our New Testament is the product of the Holy Spirit teaching all things and reminding you of everything Jesus said. And the truth is that in every part of the Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament, we discover Jesus. Tim Chester says this, the Old Testament consistently and relentlessly looks forward to his coming. Then the New Testament describes and explains his coming, as well as looking ahead to his return. Everywhere we look, we are meant to see Jesus. And he actually suggests four ways that we can discover Jesus in the Old Testament. We need to ask four questions, he says, these. What aspects of the character of God does the passage reveal? And how does Christ exemplify this? How does Christ show, for example, the love of God, the fatherliness of God, the power of God, the greatness of God, and so on and so on? Secondly, is what aspects of the identity of humanity does the passage reveal? And how does Christ fulfill these? What does it tell us about being human, and how is Jesus fully living out what it means to be human? We look at the Old Testament, and then we look to Jesus, how he lived it out. Thirdly, what aspects of the promises of God does the passage reveal, and how does Christ complete these? The Old Testament spoke about sacrifice, that sin might be forgiven. Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. And what aspects of the need of humanity does the passage reveal, and how does Christ meet this? Through his sacrifice, he gives us forgiveness. So for the example, the Bible showed us that there is a way to be forgiven then, through the process of sacrifice. It showed that there has to be a sacrifice for sin. The Old Testament, every time you sinned, you had to meet the sacrifice. Jesus shows us that there's a different, a better way, a complete way. He was a once and for all sacrifice so that those who put their trust in him might be forgiven once and for all. You see, the New Testament shows us that in Jesus, God has spoken in person, the person of his Son. Jesus was God communicating directly to us. John says, if you remember, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. But the Old Testament and the New Testament speak to us about the Son of God. Do you remember what Isaiah said? But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. For he bore the sins of many, and he made intercession for transgressors. The Old Testament is so important because God speaks in and through it directly to you and me. It points to a better way. It points to the coming of Jesus. And the New Testament shows how Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament completely, particularly in God's plan of salvation, and therefore how he meets us today in forgiveness and offering hope. Do you remember Jesus showed the religious leaders of his day that by failing to see him in the Old Testament, they had completely missed its point. This is what he said. You search the scriptures because you think that they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. So as I close, let me leave you with just three challenges. And the first is this. Bible isn't just an ancient book. It's not a book that just provides us with information. It's a living book in which God speaks. Folks sometimes say to me, if God is there, why does he not make himself known? Well, let me tell you this morning that he's spoken loud and clear through his word, the Bible, and through his Son, Jesus, who fills every page of the Bible. The question is, are you listening? Secondly, God speaks through his word when we read it, but also when it is preached. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, and I must be honest, I only thought of this afterwards, so it's not on the scripture, but I'm going to read it to you. This is what he said to the people in Thessalonica. We never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted it when we said what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. You get the point of that? God speaks through the preaching of his word. And it's so easy to make excuses for why you shouldn't be in church. There are some times when it is quite legitimate, then you cannot be in God's house. But the normal practice, if you're somebody who believes, is to make sure that you are there so that God can speak to you through the preaching of his word. And some of us never hear God speaking because we don't read his word. And we're not where God's word is to be preached. Thirdly, is the word of God flowing through your body as blood flows through your veins? You see, when it is, you can apply the Bible's principles and its rules to every situation in life. Let me give you a simple illustration. The fruit of the Spirit that you'll find in Galatians Chapter 5. When I'm saying, how should I bring up my child? How should I do this? I bring those principles there, the fruits of the Spirit, and say, how is the decision I'm about to make for my child to be influenced, guided by those principles of love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, etc.? And then I'm making decisions, I bring those principles to the situation that I'm about to make a decision in. And I say, God, speak to me through your word in this particular situation. And the more you know God's word, the more you will know how to act instinctively in order to make wise decisions and make wise choices. And so a busy lifestyle demands that we know God and his word even better. But let me tell you this as I close. There are no shortcuts. We need to be hearing God's word in order that we might apply it. Amen. Let's have a moment of quiet while the band come back. I wonder if you've ever been tempted to give up being a Christian because it's just too tough. Temptations in this world are just too strong. If you follow the Scripture Union notes, the Scripture Union notes this morning were spot on with regard to what I've been preaching about. And Psalm 119, which is what the Scripture notes were this morning, the psalmist offers those who find it so tough great hope. This is what he says. It's a hope that worked then and it works now. This is what the commentator was saying. This is a hope anchored in believing in the goodness of God's character through trusting in the everlasting rightness of God's word. That word never gets old. And it's perfectly expressed in the Lord Jesus.